사랑하는 성도 여러분, 전 세계 및 전국에
Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from around the 9,000 branch churches and the local sanctuaries, the all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 41st lecture on Genesis. For 6 days, God the Creator accomplished the works of a creation. The earth was created before the six-day creation and then completely covered by the water of life. Finally, God started to create the works on this earth. On the first day, as God said, let there be light. The original light of the creation surrounded the earth and all around. The earth was the fleshly space, but it began to ride within the spiritual time flow when it was surrounded by the original light. In addition, the natural law, orders, and the principles were set up on the earth, and God's power and the divinity could dwell in the all creations, all creatures that would be created in the future. On the second day, the water of life that had covered the earth was divided above the below, and an expanse was created between them. The waters below the expanse became the sea waters, and the waters above the expanse became the water vapor in the atmosphere. The waters above the expanse also flowed into the second heaven, and they became the source of the rivers in the Garden of Eden. On the third day of the creation, the huge depression was formed near the North Pole, and all the waters gathered there, and the dry land appeared in the South Pole. As God called the waters which gathered in the one place the seas, they become the salty as they become to contain the dissolved salts. Likewise, on the third day, the sea was one and the dry land was one. On this third day, God made this earth to bring forth all kind of vegetation, the plants and the trees. By doing this without the sunlight, God provided for plants to survive solely by the power of God. On the first days of creation, the sun and the moon and the stars were created. Here, the stars refers to the stars that are within our galaxy, but countless other stars were created before the beginning when the space was one. After the sun, the moon, and the stars were created, the earth was set in the motions to function according to physical law. As a result, the signs of seasons, days, and the years came into the being on the earth. Many kinds of atmospheric phenomena appeared, and the geological movement also took place. As a result, the land, which was originally one, split up and divided into many pieces. Before the fifth day, and the earth came to have a basic framework, which was similar to a current structure within five oceans and six continents. This is why in Genesis, the waters in the seas is described as it's on the fifth day creation. When these environments were set, the same day God created the fish in the sea and the birds in the air. Genesis chapter 21 says that every living thing that moves with which the waters swarmed was created on the fifth day. It means that not only fish but also kinds of creatures that live in the waters were also created together. Again, God created the birds of the air, beasts of the land, and the livestock and the creeping things, and the fish of the sea. Evolutionists, listen up. There are millions of the species of these creatures, not 1,000 or 10,000, but millions. However, they all have the same structure. They have the same structure, two eyes, a nose, and two ears, and the food puts in through the mouth and comes out through the anus. Mating is a little different. Depending on the species, but they mate in the similar way and give birth to the eggs or young. There are millions of species like this, but How can they be created through the evolution? This is truly something to layman over. Please listen to me and think about it again. You, student, and the teachers, and the professors. Excluding mutations and the special species, many species of animals have two eyes. When they evolve, shouldn't they have four or five eyes? How can it be argued that so many species all have the same structures through the evolution? Aren't the structure and the positioning of the face the same? If it were the evolution, the nose could be on the forehead or the nose could be on the stomach. Why must there be two nostrils? Must not be four or five. Why are the ears located right there instead of behind the hand? This is because the current position of the ears looks good in the eyes of a god. I think it would be nice if they evolve and had multiple ears and eyes. If you are injured or unable to see both eyes, you would be able to see with another eyes. If we evolve, have a multiple mouth, and we would have been able to eat through the other. If one mouth hurt, when children catch a cold, their nose gets stuffy, runny nose is uncomfortable. But if they evolve with multiple nostrils, they would have been able to breathe through the other opening when both the nostrils were clogged. But in the conclusion, there are only two. It's true that the positioning of the two eyes, one nose, two nostrils, one ears on both sides, and one mouth on the face of the creatures are the same. This also includes the aquatic plants that cannot survive outside of the water. One of these examples is plankton. They are single cell living in the waters. They produce the oxygen through the photosynthesis using the solar energy. Through they are too small to be seen individually, their total population is so huge. The amount of the oceans that this plankton produce makes up the almost 50 or 70% of the oceans of the entire the earth. All of these things were created because we need them. Considering that 20% of the earth's oxygen is produced in the Amazon forest, this kind of a plankton can be considered a large oxygen factory in the ocean. When fish were created at the beginning, it was a plankton that these fish ate. At the time, the fish didn't prey on other fish. This plankton was their food. This plankton is still the food for many fish, their source of the energy. On the sixth day of the creation, land animals and the men were created. Then animals were grouped into the three categories from the beginning, wild animals, cattle, and the creeping things on the ground. Of course, among the animals that were created on that day, some have become extinct. Some others have a different look from their original appearance. After the thirst was cursed, their vicious and the toxic attributes become strong, which result in the changing of their appearances. Just as a man looks scary when he's angry, when their vicious attributes become stronger, their outward appearance was changed. However, it doesn't mean that they evolve. Evolutionism claims that some fish evolve into the land animals and some land animals evolve into the birds. The fact is, however, that God created all fish, birds, and the land animals after their kind from the beginning. The highlight of the work of the creation was that God, the Trinity, created man in their own image and likeness. When we got the Genesis chapter 2, 7, I will explain in the great detail how God created the man. Dear brothers and sisters, after finishing the 6 days of the work of the creation, God proclaimed that Genesis chapter 2:1 that the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. God said that the heavens and the earth and all things were completed. Here, heaven and the earth and all things refers to the things belongs to the first heaven, which is a physical place. This means that everything necessary for human cultivation had been provided in the physical space. The second and the third heaven were already created before. If the earth is a building, then everything necessary is contained and within. And the same goes for the sun, moon, and the stars in our galaxy that directly affect the earth. It said that through the 6 days of the creation, all conditions necessary for human cultivations were provided. Isaiah chapter 40, 26 says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings together our hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing." It is said that there are currently about 350,000 species of plants and over 1 million species of animals on the earth. God created such a variety of plants and animals. There are over 1 million species of animals. So if you include insects, wouldn't there be a million of the species? How can these things evolve in the same way? Evolutionists are saying ridiculous things, and we are teaching and learning about this in school. How frustrating! The heavens and the earth were completed along with their hosts by the great power and authority of a God. By the way, all the things that God created in the earth are the models of the things in the heavenly kingdom. Based on what is the heaven, God created the things in the earth. Therefore, if you look at the things on the earth in the spirit, you can find the heaven in them. It means you can sense the heart of the delicate love of God and His divine nature and the power. After finishing the 6 days of work of the creation, God rested on the seventh day. For this Genesis chapter 2 says, "By the seventh day, God completed His work which had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done." How did God rest on this seventh day? When God saw what He created during the 6 days, He was pleased in His heart and He was satisfied. And thus God the Father laughed with joy, and His laughter was big enough to shake all the heavens and the earth. Upon seeing Him, the angels praised His holy names and sang to His glory with beautiful songs and playing. This was the scene as God rested on the seventh day after He finished the 6 days of the work of the creation. Let me introduce the part of the praise of which angels sang to God on that day. I'm so grateful that I can read to you about this situation that happened, what happened in the heaven while preaching. This is not what I'm making up in my head. This is what I can read because God gave it all to me. Now, I will introduce some of the praises that the angels offered to God at the time. The Lord, who is the perfect in all things, who is complete and beautiful, so beautiful, who owns all things and moves all things, who stood alone as a beautiful light. Let us praise Him for the accomplished all things. Upon His wall as He hovered, He presented such mysterious things in the great detail and created all the beautiful things. He took great delight from all the things created. He is inspired in His heart and He let us praise His beauty as He laughs. The heart of the Creator is contained the beautiful flowers and the songs sung by the birds. Even in the particles of the dust and the soil of the earth, the will of the Creator is contained. Let us praise the Lord who accomplished all things in His providence. Truly He shines when alone. He is perfect and beautiful, yet He created us. Let us praise the Creator who created us. He imprinted His will in the beautiful petals of flowers, and He put meanings in the beauty of the stars, the sun, and the moon. He created the beauty in the nature and made all things in the follow in accordance with the natural law and the principles. He put the meanings even in the most minute things. Let us praise His touch and created all things. Let us praise the Lord who created all things so beautifully to accomplish His will and His providence. Let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him who stood alone and moved the whole space and resounded in such a huge and vast space with the splendor of His voice. He hath His providence and will. Let us praise the Creator who created all things one by one, putting His heart into them. He put His beautiful heart into the beauty of the blades of grass and the flowers and even their individual petals. The Lord put His heart into the chirping of the tiny bird and into the countenance of animals, even into a small rock. He imprinted His will. Let us praise the Lord who did all the things. Let us praise the name of the Creator. As He planned, He did all things this before days when He endures so long to complete human cultivation. Let us praise the Lord who takes the delight and the rejoices and becomes the touched for all things He have done. We came to exist as the Creator had will. And that those all things were created, let us praise His name. Let us praise His power for being completed. God Himself came down to the first heaven and finished all the work of the 6 days of the creation. It's so beautiful, right? But He didn't return to the first heaven. He stayed on the earth through the seventh day and rested. Dear brothers and sisters, there's a special meaning contained in God's rejoicing on the seventh day. When things are done well and the result is good, people take pleasure in it. And they receive the comfort and the reward for the things done well. God, who has both a divinity and the humanity, was also delighted and rejoiced when He saw that the preparations for human cultivation to gain the true children were beautifully completed. He rested and received the praise and the glory in full. It will be the same when we get to heaven in the future, since it will be the time after His goal is achieved, He will accept even greater emotion and joy than He received on this seventh day. The souls who have successfully been through the human cultivation and received the salvation will finally get true rest. So in the book of the Revelation, can't we see that only God is given glory and praise by all the angels in the heaven? Praise for God always, resonated in heaven? How clear and soft the praise always resonated. And wherever you go, there's always praise and a dance. They will be awarded as they have sown and worked on the earth. According to the reward they've gotten. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that within the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like 1 day. God finished the 6 days of the creation works and He rested on the seventh day. After 6,000-year-long human cultivation is over, there will be a period of the rest for the 1,000 years. The environment of the entire earth will be restored to the state that it was just as it was created in the beginning. The environment which God saw became fully satisfied and pleased with it will be restored. All the children of God who received the salvation will spend 1,000 years happily on the earth. In the after the 1,000 years, the great final judgment will take place and we will enter heaven, our eternal life. Finally, God the Father can stay forever with His true children He has wished. As God the Father rested on the earth on the seventh day, He thought of the days of the millennium kingdom. His heart was filled with happiness as He imagined the day when He would be with His children of faith after a long wait. He also filled with joy at the thought of the house and the reward that Father God had prepared for His children when they reached the eternal kingdom of heaven. God the Father has not only divinity but also humanity. And so His heart moves as He sees things of beauty. He also has the heart of the Father and He becomes happy just thinking of His children. He wishes to give a good house to His children and He wishes to provide only the best things as they need them. However, He planted the human cultivation and did the creation works because He has to accomplish all things in justice. After the sixth day of the creation work, the ground for human cultivation was ready. And so God the Father was so pleased and rejoiced. Now, Genesis chapter 2:3 says that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Therefore, those who keep the Sabbath holy can receive the blessing. Thus, God blessed the Sabbath day, the seventh day, and made it holy, because on it He rested from all His work which God had done in creation. So those who keep the Sabbath day holy are also blessed. To keep the Sabbath holy doesn't only mean to just go to the church on the Sabbath day and to attend the worship service. Keeping the Sabbath is so filled the heart of God who rested on the seventh day and to worship Him from the depth of our heart. It's to believe that God created the heavens and the earth and all things in them, and to praise and worship Him. Isaiah chapter 56:2 says, "How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of the man who takes the whole of it, who keeps from the profaning the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil."
Such a
Let me read it again. How blessed is the man who keeps from the profaning the Sabbath day. Please remember this. You must not profane it. And who keeps his hand from the doing any evil. Blessed is the one who does these things. As this verse says, God the Father will surely bless those who remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Also, Ezekiel chapter 20:20 says, sanctify my Sabbath, and they shall be the sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. It means that God considers as it the evidence of the faith to keep the Sabbath holy. Therefore, we must know that keeping the Sabbath is the minimum express of the faith in God as a creator of heaven and the earth. I've explained many times what is to keep the Sabbath holy in other messages. The essence of the keeping the Sabbath day holy is to worship God from the heart while filling the heart of God the Father, who rested on the seventh day of the creation. You should give glory to God not only in the services but also the meaning and the during the works that take place on the Sabbath. To those who keep the Sabbath well with a perfect heart and the holy deeds, the blessing that God promised will be surely given. Dear brothers and sisters, the seventh day of the creation, the Sabbath was actually Saturday. The first day of the creation was a Sunday. If you look at the most calendars, the first day of the week is the Sunday, and the last, the seventh day, is the Saturday. In the Old Testament days, the Saturday was the Sabbath. Those who are Jewish who don't accept Jesus as their Savior and the Islamic still keep the Saturday as the Sabbath. Then from what point has the Sunday become the Sabbath, and what is the reason? On the first day, God said, let there be light, and surrounded the earth with the original light of the creation. God said, let there be the original light. This light instantly moved through the spiritual space and encompassed the entire universe. Then God started the creation. It was to proclaim the sovereignty of the God who is the light itself throughout the whole universe. At the same time, it was to proclaim the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1:9 says that there was a true light which the coming into the world enlightened every man. This true light was Jesus Christ, who was in the very nature of God. Then Matthew chapter 12:8 says, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. That is, our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. As I said, the Lord who is the true light is the Lord of the Sabbath. Just as there was a light on the first day of the creation, Sunday, the first day of the week, is the day when the Lord, the true light, shined upon the whole world. It was also the day when Jesus opened the door to salvation to all mankind by breaking the authority of the death and the resurrections. The Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath, so how could a Saturday, the day the Lord was resurrected and went to the upper grave, be the Sabbath? the day when the Lord broke the power of death and shone the whole world with the light, the day when He became the first fruit of the resurrections and came out of the resurrections should be the Sabbath. Why? Because the Lord of the Sabbath is the Jesus Christ. He became the true light of the light in the soul to live in the darkness of the death and the suffering. From that day on, we've gained the hope of the resurrection and the, come to the enjoy the true rest. Our Lord broke the power of death on the Sunday, the day we know the Sunday, and rose again at dawn. So we were given the hope of the resurrection and were able to enjoy the true rest. This is why we have come to keep Sunday as the Sabbath and as the Lord's Day. After the Lord resurrected, we finally came to keep the true Sabbath. As you see the Genesis chapter 1, 3, which reads, "Let there will be light," and the Matthew chapter 12, 8, which reads, "The Son of the Man is the Lord is the Sabbath," go together as a pair. These verses explain the spiritual reason to keep Sunday as the Sabbath. Besides, God already made the record in the Old Testament and the Sunday would become the Sabbath. Leviticus chapter 23:10-12 said, "Speak to the son of the Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring it the sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Now on the day when you wave the sheaf, we shall offer a male lamb 1 year old without defect for burnt offering to the Lord." When is the day when they wave the sheaf? They shall offer a male lamb 1 year old in the verse. It's the day after Sabbath. Here, since the Sabbath was a Saturday at the time, the day after Sabbath refers to the Sunday, which is the day after Saturday. Also, a male lamb 1 year old without defect spiritually refers to the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the Leviticus, it says to the slaughter of the one-year-old ram without blemish and apply it to the doorposts. Also, the first fruit of the harvest refers to the Jesus Christ, the first fruit of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15:20, it says, "But now is Christ risen, arisen from the dead, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Those who are sleeping, those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, those are dead in the flesh, but the Bible says they are sleeping in the grave now. They too will be resurrected when the time comes. Our Lord became the first fruit of the resurrection. If you look at the Bible, when the Lord was crucified, there was a loud thunder and the rocks split. And then people who were buried came out of the graves. It means they were resurrected before the Lord? No. If you look at the Bible carefully, you can see that they came out after the Lord's resurrection. After the resurrection of Jesus, we've been able to enjoy the true rest. The Lord broke the power of the death and was resurrected, giving people the hope of the resurrection and the eternal life. That's when you receive the Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, your dead spirit to come back to life. This is a spiritual resurrection. You are then called a child of a God and enjoy the rest. However, the rest on this earth is not the perfect rest. Therefore, God has prepared the eternal and the perfect resting place called the heavenly kingdom. Besides the spiritual resurrection, you come to enjoy the eternal and the perfect rest through another resurrection. As the Lord comes in the air, our body will change into the imperishable body and meet the Lord in the air. This is the physical resurrection. After the spiritual and the physical resurrection, you will eternally rest. Since there is a hope for resurrection like this, you can enjoy the true rest of the Spirit. As explained, Sunday is the day when Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, gives the true rest as He was resurrected. And you call Sunday the Lord's Day. Our Lord's Day. Let me conclude it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In this lecture, I explained that God rested on the seventh day after He finished the 6 days of the work of the creation. I also told you that you should correctly understand the true meaning of the Sabbath and keep it holy. To keep the Sabbath holy, there are some deeds you should not do. But there's something more important than whether or not you did something outwardly. It's with what kind of hearts are you keeping the Sabbath? The key to keeping the Sabbath day holy is to feel God's heart of the rest on the day and to worship God from the heart. How happy and joyful God must have been. When human cultivation is over the future, how happy will God be with those who have found this lost image of God who resemble the Father, who have received the forgiveness of the sins through the only begotten Son, who have diligently believed in God and love Him, who have cast away even the appearance of the evil, and who have not been trained by such things even when the world is filled with sin, and who have steadfastly and unwaveringly walked towards the heavenly gate and towards the New Jerusalem because they love and believe in God. It is because God wants such children and knows that there will be countless such children that He made the seventh day so happy. You should feel such a heart of God and give thanks for all things and give glory to God in all you do. Romans chapter 12, 1 says, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So if you truly hope for New Jerusalem, you should present a holy sacrifice, which is spiritual service of worship, not only on Sunday, but also on all the other days. Keep your body and the heart holy and follow the good-pleasing and the perfect will of God the Father. In doing so, may you enter the New Jerusalem as you get to heaven so that you may enjoy the best rest and the happiness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.